Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. And in verse 32 they said, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? Now, I don't know about you, but when I read that, two things. One is, I would love to have been in on that conversation. Wouldn't you want to have been there? You can be there. You can be there. Every morning you can be there. As you come to the Lord and ask him to open the scriptures to you, to show you in all the scriptures the things concerning himself, and your heart can burn. But the other thing that motivates me from this passage is I would like to be that kind of person. Lord, please, if anything, please let me be a person who can listen to people and then say, haven't you read, that's of course how Jesus used to do it, with the Pharisees and with people, haven't you read, don't you remember what David did? Do you remember how Jonah, and what about the Queen of the South when she came? Jesus was always doing that. I would like to be that kind of person. I would like to be the kind of person who can listen to people and then say, haven't you read in 1 Corinthians 7? Don't you remember in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2? I was reading this morning myself in Psalm 119. And for people to sit, and as we open the scriptures together, for them to see the word of God applied to their need, and for their hearts to burn within them. And one of the verses we didn't look at about Jeremiah and his contemporaries was Jeremiah 5:14. God says, he describes the worthlessness of the prophets and all that they were saying, and then he says, because they have said these things, I am making my words in your mouth. Remember what we said about that. I am making my words in your mouth a fire. And this people would. May God do that for you. Each one of you. May God make his works in your mouth a fire, and the people around you, let's pray. Maybe you want to just take some moments yourself to pray that God would open your mouth to receive his word. Maybe you need to make some little commitments with him, even about your time here or the days to come, about your intake of God's word. Maybe you need to put in your schedule to get some time with Diana to learn a bit more about how she stayed feeding herself on the word of God. And then you need to pray about the word of God in your mouth as you teach it. Pray over Jeremiah 5:14 or Luke 24:32 and ask God to make you that kind of a person. Praise God. Let's have a moment or two of quiet now. If oxygen masks in the event of a loss of cabin pressure, oxygen masks will appear from the, you know, and then they say, please put on your own before helping those with you. Why do they say that? Why do they say, please put on your own before helping those near you? You think, oh, I must help my child first. Yes, it's obvious, isn't it? But mothers, please put on your own these, as you hear, even in the meetings this week, as you hear the babies crying and so on, and you're tempted to be distracted from the Word of God, remember, I need the Word of God. Even more. Let's be deeply committed to the intake of the Word of God. And I do think that there is a feeling, you know, in Jesus' day, the Jews had the view that women didn't need to be taught the Word of God. Did you know that? You probably read that somewhere. I have a fascinating book called, or I used to have until somebody borrowed it, called Jerusalem in the Time of Jesus. And it has a lot of study in Jewish writings around the same time. And one of the things was that they really didn't think women needed to know the Bible. That kind of thinking is still around. And it's around in the minds of many women. You've bought in to the leaven of the scribes and Pharisees in that respect. You think, I don't need to know the Bible. My husband needs to know. But I don't need to know. He can just tell me what to do. You misread that verse in 1 Corinthians about let them ask their husbands at home or something. And you think, my mind can go to sleep. I'm a woman, after all. Aren't women supposed to be more subjective and men supposed to be more objective or something like that? Paul said to Timothy, keep your mind. It's a challenge as a young mother to keep your mind functioning and active. But God gave you your mind. And God gave you the Word of God to fill your mind. Remember Mary and Martha? In Luke 10, I think many people would have said Martha was doing just the right thing. Of course, they don't say that because it's in the Bible and they know that that's not what they're supposed to say when they read the passage. But when you hear them talking about other things, you think, basically, they think that. They think that Martha was doing the right thing. She was doing her woman thing, you know, making the meal, and that's what women should do. I know many men who think like that. And I know not a few women who think like that. Who think that as long as I'm doing a good job, you know, keeping the house, and I don't need to worry about my mind and God's word and being a serious student of God's word. But Jesus taught Mary. She sat at his feet listening to his teaching. And Jesus said, Mary has chosen the best part. And it won't be taken. Have you set your heart, set yourself to be a Mary? And we need to be committed to teaching God's word to others. Not just the intake in our own life, but to taking what we know and sharing it with others. It's an obligation and a responsibility. Again, I think many women excuse themselves from this. And we could take a lot of time going into that subject, but just in case you perhaps, let me just provoke you. If you've bought into this idea that you know, it's not a woman's place to teach, just think about Deborah. Did God appoint Deborah as the leader of Israel? Did God tell Deborah to give that message to Barak? Did God inspire Deborah to write her song in Judges chapter 5? On Easter Sunday, the first Easter Sunday, who was the first person Jesus appeared to? Mary Magdalene, John 20. And he sent her with a message to the apostles. They, incidentally, didn't believe the message. Were they commended for that? That's a good thing. That's a good thing, because you shouldn't, you know, Eve was misled and she misled Eve, so you shouldn't, you know, and that was, you did the right thing there, disciples, you know, well done. Or did Jesus really send Mary with that message? Well, he did. God establishes the pattern. Phoebe Paul says Phoebe in Romans 16, 1 and 2 was a great help to many people, including me. I've read commentaries that say that word help there must mean that she helped him in practical ways. They're reading their prejudices into the Bible. The word prostasis is from the same root in Greek as proestemi, which is translated in other parts of the New Testament as leadership. So we could translate that passage, she's been a great leader to many, including me. In Acts 2:17, in Joel's prophecy, the prophecy about the Holy Spirit coming was that your sons and your daughters would prophesy. Amen? Amen. But if you're going to be a leader, people will follow you. And that is tough. Because then you better make sure you're leading in the right direction. You better make sure that it's the Word of God. Let's look at Luke 24, just to end here. This is, if we think about the ministry of the Word, this is my favorite passage in all of Scripture on the ministry of the Word, and the one that's motivated me most in my teaching of Scripture. It's Luke 24, from verse 13. On the same day, you know the passage well, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. I love that. Jesus didn't stand and confront them on the road. Stop! Where do you think you're going? Jesus, it says, himself came along and went with them. May God help us to be such people. That we're women and men, Yashim and I, who know how to get alongside people. Who can get with people and walk with people. They were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one living in Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. Jesus' teaching ministry involved a listening ministry. Because to teach the Word of God to people, to apply the Word of God to people, you need to know where they are. But then at the appropriate point, having listened, having understood, having found out where they were and what was on their mind and heart, Jesus, skilled in the Scriptures, a workman needing not to be ashamed, rightly handling the Word of truth, says in verse 25, "How foolish you are. How slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." You can say that when you listen. You can say that when you walk with people. You can say that to the women you're helping. You can. It doesn't have to be said harshly, but you can say you're foolish not to believe the Scriptures. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets,